Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles. Find your place. If you've been with us, you know we are in Psalm 23. We are going through a series here in Psalm 23. We're going verse by verse, one sermon per verse. We have hit the halfway mark, and we're going to go over the top of the halfway mark today as we get to probably the most well-known verse in this psalm and probably the most quoted verse inside this psalm as well as we get to verse 4. Before we begin today, I want to ask you a question. What do you think is man's greatest fear? You can say it out loud. Death. Of course it is. Because every other fear that we have is connected to death. We're, you know, we might be afraid of cancer because we're, a lot of times, people are afraid of death. We might be afraid of, driving. And so it's because we're afraid of the fact that Jocelyn Ward got her driver's license this week. We're praying for all the pedestrians out there. But man's greatest fear is death. Can I tell you something to bless your heart today? Death has died. The Lord Jesus Christ, He took the sting out of death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? We know that our victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And today I want to talk to you about how to have peace in the valley. Look at our text. Let's go to Psalm 23. We're going to read the whole psalm. My goal is that you have it all memorized by the time that we're done, but we're going to focus in on verse 4 today. Psalm 23, beginning in verse 1. I'll read aloud. You read along silently. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah God is my shepherd," David says. "I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Last week, we looked at verse 3. "He restoreth my soul." The shepherd is really good to bring you back to where you need to be and to lead you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We do everything to bring honor and glory to Him and His name. Verse 4 is our text today. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Verse 4, it gives us something. This is a verse that is probably most known and most quoted in the 23rd Psalm, and because it has charmed to rest the fears of so many men. And the greatest fear of men is death. Have you ever thought about this? That mankind is the only creature on earth that knows he's going to die? I mean, animals are, they're going to die, but animals don't know they're going to die. They might have fearful instincts to try to avoid the predator, but they don't consume themselves with the idea of, they don't know they're going to die. Man knows he's going to die. And what's interesting is man is trying so hard to ignore that fact or to forget that fact. But we are going to face the valley of the shadow of death at some point in our lives, and we're trying hard to do that. Can I just say this to you, though? No man is truly ready to live until he gets to a place until he's not afraid to die. You're not truly ready to live until you're unafraid to die. And so many people are so scared of everything. They're so scared that they're going to run into a trap, run into something that's going to harm them. They never actually know how to live their life. And so we're going to talk about this today. We're going to talk about death a little bit. That ought to bless your heart. Amen. Here's the thing. Nobody wants to talk about death. But if you know Jesus, death ain't no big deal. It isn't. Listen, let me tell you something. Let me give you a little lesson, a little side lesson here, okay? In the book of Hebrews, the Bible calls Jesus the forerunner, all right? A forerunner was a little ship on a big ship. And they would take the forerunner, they would put the anchor in the forerunner, the little ship, they would send it into the harbor, into the rocks, they would drop the anchor into the rocks, and they would be anchored in the harbor. The ship would still be out here. When the high tides came, the ship would be lifted into the harbor where it was anchored. The Bible calls Jesus the forerunner of our souls. Here's what Jesus did for us. The Bible says in Hebrews that he anchored our souls within the veil. What's inside the veil? That represents the presence of God. He took my soul back many years ago when I repented of my sin and trusted in him. He took my soul and he anchored it within the veil in the presence of God. All I'm waiting on now is the tide of death to lift me up and raise me over to where my heart and my soul is already anchored in the presence of God. Does that bless you? Listen, the tide of death can only give the Christian a promotion. It's just going to take us home. One of these days you're going to read an article in the paper that says Matt Raines has died. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. I will be more alive than I've ever been. I'll be in the presence of God. I will have walked through the valley of the shadow of death, and my good shepherd has been there the whole time, holding my hand, leading me from Mount Calvary to Mount Zion to his return. He's taken me home no matter where I am. And so we're going to walk through there someday. Now, in Israel, there's a place called Wadi Kelt. It's associated with what we would call the valley of the shadow of death. It's an interesting place. It's in the Judean wilderness beyond the foothills of Bethlehem. And it's a place that is going from Bethlehem down towards Jericho. There is a spring that bursts forth from the Mount of Olives about 2,700 feet above sea level. And now this particular trek is about 4.5 miles long. It's a place that goes all the way down to the Dead Sea. It has sidewalls in places that are 1,500 feet high. If you've ever seen images of it, you can pull up Google images of Wadi Kelt, W-A-D-I-Q-E-L-T. It's the Valley of the Shadow of Death. Walls 1,500 feet high in some places. Narrow passages at the bottom, 10 and 12 feet wide in some places. There was an unwritten law among the shepherds that you would take your flock up in the morning and down in the evening. The reason why they did that is because they didn't want flocks that were going up while there were flocks coming down, having to meet in places that were too narrow for a flock to turn around. The footing of this place is badly eroded. It's rough. It's narrow. My former pastor told me on his first trip to the Holy Land in 1988 that you could still go to Wadi Kelt and you could actually walk the Valley of the Shadow of Death, but now that the Palestinians have control of that area, it's no longer a part of the tour. You can't get a part of that anymore. But it was an interesting place that many people want to go. It's a place that has high raised walls. It's a dark canyon that has perpetual shadows. But through the canyon is where the shepherds had to lead their sheep. In the wintertime, they would pasture around Jericho. But when the spring rains came, and the mountainsides, the pastures around here would bloom out with flowers and beautiful flowers and green grass, the shepherds would have to lead their sheep through a fearful place to get to the green pasture. Now, you can kind of see a picture there, can't you? That we have a good shepherd who will lead us through a narrow, dark, shadowy place, but he's taking us to where we want to be ultimately, and that is into his presence and into the glorified presence of God someday, and to the green pastures that we're seeking. But in the meantime, we're here to deal with the valley of the shadow of death. And I want to talk to you today about how to have peace in the valley. Let's look at three things I want to share with you this morning. Number one, if you got a Sunday program, on the very back of that, there's a place to take notes if you want to. Number one, we need to realize and we need to accept death as a decided fact. Accept death as a decided fact. Here's the thing about death. It's coming for all of us, isn't it? Unless the Lord Jesus comes back, death is coming for us. There's an old movie out called What About Bob? Anybody ever seen What About Bob? It has Bill Murray in it, and he's a multiphobic person who's trying to get help from his psychiatrist. And at one particular part of the movie, he's at the psychiatrist's house, and the psychiatrist's son is there, and he's fascinated with death. And he says, he keeps saying to Bill Murray, who's Bob, he keeps saying, "I am going to die. You are going to die. We are all going to die." And of course, Bob, being multiphobic in his nature, he's freaking out because this little kid's talking about death. But the truth is that death is a decided fact. It's coming for us. And here's some things about death that you need to understand. Death is preordained. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, judgment. It's appointed unto men how many times to die? Once to die. Now, I want you to understand something about death. We think about death, most of us don't even know how to define death. Death is simply defined as separation. So what happens, when death happens, separation has happened. When my body gives up someday, my spirit is going to leave my body. That's why I told you a while ago, when you read that Matt has died, don't believe it. Matt's more alive than he's ever been. My spirit has left my body. My body has given up. But my spirit, according to 2 Corinthians, is taken into the presence of God. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Separation has happened. You'll come by and you'll look at my corpse and you'll say, he doesn't look any better. Even with all the makeup. But it won't matter because Matt won't be there. I will have stricken my tent and gone to be with the Lord. But it's only appointed in the man once to die. Listen, I want to tell you something in case you don't know. There are two deaths in the Bible. There is a first death in which my body gives up, my spirit is separated from my body. But the Bible talks about a second death in which my spirit is separated from God for all of eternity because I've rejected the one and only way to heaven, which is through Jesus Christ. And so if you've been born once, you're going to die twice. But if you've been born twice, you're only going to die once. It is a decided fact. It's appointed unto every man once to die, and after this is the judgment. Here's the good thing about the second death is you can cancel that appointment. You don't have to keep that appointment. All of us are going to keep the first appointment unless Jesus comes back to rapture us before we die. But the rest of us, I canceled that appointment years ago. When I repented of my sin and I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and I called out to him to save me and to be my Lord and Savior, that day I canceled my second death. It is a certainty. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death as a result of sin, and so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death is coming, like it or not. And even in the text, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. When he says yea, it's a level of certainty that's going to happen. So unless the Lord returns in my lifetime, I'm going to face this sobering reality. Here's something else you should know about death. Not only is it preordained, hey, death is not predictable, is it? It's not predictable. The truth is that we're all walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Every one of us, from the moment that we are born, we are moving towards the grave. Now, some of you are thinking, man, this really doesn't bless my heart. I didn't come here to hear about death. But I want to tell you something. Death is a reality. It's a harsh reality. And we're moving towards it. We're just one step away or one breath away from death. And there have been countless people this week who never dreamed that this past week, that when they woke up, they never dreamed they would step into eternity that day. And many of them did. Had no clue it was coming. Now, many of them, they know they're dying. I mean, I'm a hospice chaplain. I mean, the people I meet, they know that death is coming. But you know how many folks don't know? And they're shocked when it happens? You ever think about how amazed the eternal angels of heaven must be to see how quickly we come and go in this life? I mean, we see everything in this long term. We think 70, 80, 90 years, and they see things in an eternal sense, and our lives are just kind of coming and going. But it's so true what the Bible says. James said in chapter 4, verse 14 of his epistle, he said this. He said, know ye not, you know not what shall be on the morrow. And then he goes on to say this. He said, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while, and then it vanisheth away. Here's the thing about our lives. Even if we live to be 80 and 90 years old, you're going to look back at 90 and go, you know what, that went by really fast. How many of you have already discovered that at maybe 60 or 70? You go, man, that happened so quickly. How did that happen? Because the Bible is right. Your life is like a vapor. It appears for a moment, then it vanishes away. It's like a puff of smoke, and it's gone. It's so quick. And here's the thing. He says, you don't know what will be on the morrow. What's he saying? He says, you don't know what tomorrow holds for you. That's why we have to be on top of this subject. This is why we can't face this until we realize where we can place all of our fears and how they can be taken care of. Now, some of you are like, well, you know, I'm pretty healthy. I'm going to live a long time. You don't know that. You don't know that. You may think you're healthy. How many people went to the doctor thinking they were healthy and found out they weren't? Just this week when I was driving from my job to the church to type up this sermon, I got off on I-40 out here. And I went under the bridge of I-40. There's an 18-wheeler coming off the ramp. And when he got to right here, he's doing 30 miles an hour. And if I hadn't had my head on a swivel, he locks him up and he flies out into the... I mean, you're getting off on the off-ramp. Like, were you surprised by the stop sign? Did it sneak up on you? I mean, what in the world? He lays on the brakes. And I have to go around him like this. And when I went around, I looked in the cab. I said, Holy Spirit, help me. Because I wasn't thinking very kind, Christian, compassionate thoughts when I went around him. I'll be honest, full disclosure. And he was laughing. Y'all seen the pastor in Louisiana this week? Beat the eyebrows off that guy. I almost identified with that pastor. I thought, I'm on my way to the church to study, to prepare my sermon for Sunday. I guess it would be unchristlike to drag this guy out of that truck. So I went on, but I thought, you know, listen, if I'm not paying attention, somebody else would be preaching this morning. Seriously, I was on the phone with my wife. I said, Kara, I just almost died. She didn't seem moved by that, but I thought maybe I should at least tell her. Here's another thing about death is this. Death is personal. David didn't say, yea, though they walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He said, yea, though I walk through it. Listen, if the Lord doesn't rapture me out of here, I'm going to walk through that valley too. I'm not trying to sound morbid here, but we cannot deal with the fear of death until we accept the fact of death. We must be able to look death straight in the face and smile with assurance, and we can do that because we know death has died. Here's the thing about it is, in 1 Corinthians 15, when the Apostle Paul was writing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he said, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain, our faith is in vain, we're still in our sins. We have no hope. But then he is in verse 20, he says, but now is Christ risen, and he's become the first fruits of those who sleep. And then he goes on to say, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye. And here's what's going to happen is all the disembodied spirits who have experienced the first death, who've gone to heaven, are going to come with the Lord Jesus, and there's going to be a resurrection. The graves are going to open up. These bodies, these mortal bodies are going to come up and put on immortality. That which was corruptible is going to put on incorruption. We're going to get glorified bodies, and our spirits are going to be reunited with glorified bodies someday. Amen. And then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So, hey, the fear of death can be alleviated once we understand the fact of death, and then we understand who defeated death as well. Makes all the difference in the world. I want to tell you something. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not. Spiritually, I'm ready to roll. I was really hoping it wouldn't be by an 18-wheeler, but I was kind of hoping I'd just go to sleep, you know, and wake up in heaven. But I'm not afraid to die because death has been defeated. That's our second point here. First of all, accept death. Number one, as a decided fact. Number two, acknowledge death as a defeated foe. Are you going through a dark valley today? I mean, whatever it is, maybe it's not necessarily you're facing death, but you're going through a dark valley. There may be some people here today that have their own valleys that they're going through. You name it. I want you to understand some things about about this. Number one is there can be no valleys without mountains. We got mountains. There's an old hymn of the faith called The God of the Mountain. Y'all know that song? Man, it's a great song. And here's some of the lyrics of that song. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. And you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change. When you're down in the valley, don't lose faith because you're never alone. Because the God of the mountain, hey, he's still God in the valley. The God of good times is still God in the bad times. He says this, he says, the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, he'll make them right. The God of the good times is still God in the bad times. And the God of the day, hey, he's still God in the night. Listen, we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death when we know the good shepherd. We don't have to be afraid of that. And we know that there's no valleys without mountains. So, I mean, life has ups and downs. The Christian life, it's not all sweetness. It's not all roses. There's nowhere in the scripture does it say that if you give your life to Jesus, that you're going to have, you know, wealth, health, and prosperity the rest of your life. It doesn't say that in the Bible. In fact, the Bible says this in Psalm 34, 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So the righteous are going to suffer afflictions. You're not going to skip through life with continual health and not experiencing any pains or any shakeups. That's going to be absurd or unbiblical to even think that. Do you remember to week one in Psalm 23, do you remember that there is a divine order to these three psalms right here, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24? There's a divine order here. Psalm 22, when you read it, it points to Mount Calvary. The very first verse of Psalm 22 says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalm 22 tells us that he says, my tongue cleaves to the roof of my mouth. Jesus, from the cross did I thirst. He says, they parted my raiment and cast lots for it. It's what they did to Jesus. Psalm 22 foreshadows Mount Calvary. Psalm 24 foreshadows the coming of Jesus again back to Jerusalem. So you got Mount Calvary on one side, and you got Mount Zion on the other side. In between two mountains is going to be a valley. And right there in between those two mountains, Jesus dying for us, Jesus coming for us, we got the shepherd's cross, we got the shepherd's crown, and right in the middle, you got the shepherd's crook. Even though he's died for me, he's coming for me. In the middle of all of that, the shepherd is leading me through the valley of the shadow of death. And so you're not going to have valleys unless there's some mountains. The good shepherd, he's moving us up emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Hold the hand of the shepherd. Hold his hand. He's got a rod and a staff that will comfort you. You can lean on his word. You can lean on his promises. You can go back and look at what he's already done. You can hold the hand of the one who knows the way. You don't have to worry about it. Know this also. There can be no shadows without light. I want you to remember this about verse 4, because like we said in week 1, this is a psalm that is charmed to rest the fears of so many men. Dying soldiers have died easier because of Psalm 23. But I want you to remember this, that this is the valley of the shadow of death. Shadow of death. It's just a shadow. And if you know the good shepherd, he's taking the dread out of death. You know, shadows can frighten us, can't they? You ever seen a shadow that frightens you? When you were a kid and the storm was coming in and the lightning flashed through your window and all of a sudden the coat rack turned into a monster in the shadow, didn't it? You ever see a shadow that freaked you out just a little bit? Shadows can't hurt you. I got ran over by the shadow of a truck. Didn't hurt a bit. Shadow of a dog can't bite me. The shadow of a sword can't cut me. This is the valley of the shadow of death. And so there can be no shadows without light. And so the light that we get from God, and he shines into the darkness. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Who's that great light? That's Jesus. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath this light shined. The light that we're talking about is Jesus, who is the light of the world. You know what happens to shadows? When you face the light, the shadow will fall behind you. Amen, brother. Amen, brother Reigns. Got to do it myself. Golly, that was such a great place. I even gave y'all a pregnant pause for that one. When you face the light, the shadow will fall behind you. Thank you. Man, I thought that was so good. I was ready to have my glory day in the hot sun. This is the condemnation, though, that men love darkness rather than light. It's because their deeds are evil. Neither do they come to the light, lest the light should reprove them. But when we finally realize that there is a light that has shined upon us, and we face that light, the shadows that frighten us fall behind us. We don't see them. We're not frightened by them. I'm not frightened by the shadow of death. It's behind me. It's been defeated by Jesus. It can't harm us. Let me share a verse with you from Luke chapter 1. Let me back up to, I was going to do 78, but I'm going to back up to 76 like a good preacher would do. In verse 76 of Luke chapter 1, talking about John the Baptist and then also Jesus, it says, and thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, talking about John the Baptist. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Verse 79, here's why, to give light. To give light. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The day spring hath shined forth on us to give us light, so that we don't have to walk in darkness in the shadow of death. We don't have to have all that. We can have our feet guided into a way of peace. I want to tell you something, guys. I've been to a lot of deathbeds. And there's a difference in the deathbed of somebody who's facing the light and somebody who's facing the darkness. There's a difference. I can't tell you how many saints I've come to their bedside. That number's rapidly increasing. And they'll say things like this, I'm praying for God to take me home. But see, for the person who's still facing the darkness, he's praying for God to give him more time. Give me back my health. Give me back my days. Give me all. No, the saint's praying, God, take me home. I went to visit one of my patients one time. She became a very dear friend to me. And I got there, and her husband said, she's over there praying that she'll die and go to heaven. He was mad. She looked at me. She said, oh, yeah. I said, hey, sister, it won't be long. The God of heaven, he'll dispatch some angels to come escort you home. Don't you worry about it. When it's time, he'll lead you through that dark valley. We just got to learn how to trust him. The more we walk in the light, the less shadows we're going to see. There was a pastor seated next to a nervous lady on a plane that was experiencing a lot of severe turbulence. In an attempt to comfort her, he said, he's just sitting there, and he didn't look worried at all. And she said, you mean to tell me that none of this bothers you at all? In an attempt to comfort her, he said, ma'am, he said, when I boarded this plane, I committed my soul and my life to God. He said, but I'll be honest, I have reminded him of that several times on this trip. And so when we face the light, we don't have to be afraid of death. And here's another thought for you. There can be no evil without good. He said this, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'll fear no evil. How could he say this? He said, because thou art with me. I don't have to be afraid of evil. The Lord is with me. The good shepherd will not allow evil to ultimately triumph. Listen, truth is mightier than lies. Grace is greater than sin. Eternal life is greater than death. God is greater than Satan. Good, guys, but sometimes I get a little discouraged. I get a little down. I get a little bogged down by this world and all the garbage. But I'm reminded of that verse right there in 1 John 4:4. It says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world, talking about Satan. You know, when we first started this series, we went over to John chapter 10 and we looked at what Jesus the Good Shepherd said. One of the things that Jesus the Good Shepherd said in chapter 10 of John, verse 28, he said this, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's why I said what I said a while ago. Listen, my eternal life does not begin when I die. It began the moment I believed. The moment I repented of my sin, and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, he gave unto me eternal life in that moment. My eternal life began. He said, they hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. That's how we know they're his sheep. They follow the Savior, the shepherd. He said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And look at this. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So once we acknowledge death as a defeated foe, we can walk in victory. I don't know why everybody walks in defeat. We can rejoice. We can rejoice. Because weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. There's going to come a day in which Jesus is going to turn every hurt into a hallelujah. Every tear into a pearl. He's going to change. You know, I'm going to read a verse to you, man. It's on my heart. I'm going to read it to you. Revelation. You know what? You're not doing anything. Go with me. Revelation 21, give y'all something to do. Since y'all don't know how to amen timely points. Revelation chapter 21. In Revelation, a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there is no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And verse 4 comes, and it charms the heart of the hurting Christian who's facing death, who's walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Verse 4 comes and says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. No more death. And then he goes on to say, neither sorrow nor crying, and neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things, they're passed away. They're done. And in verse 5, he said, and behold, he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, John, he said, write, for these words are true, and they're faithful. Man, that ought to bless a Christian's heart right there. Death has died. It's over. Neither shall there be any more death, nor sorrow, nor pain, nor suffering, no more tears. Death is a defeated foe. The last thought is this. Not only do we need to accept death as a decided fact, and then we need to acknowledge death as a defeated foe, we need to acclaim death as a designed freedom. It's for our freedom. Death is for your freedom. I'll explain it in a minute. Notice the shepherd's presence here. He said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Have you ever noticed how the pronouns change in this text? He no longer is talking about the shepherd. If you notice now, he's talking to the shepherd. With me. He's acknowledging his care for him. He went from he leadeth me, he maketh me, to thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they do comfort me. He's not talking about him anymore. He's talking to him now. And that's the beauty of it. We don't walk alone. The same shepherd who walked with him is the same shepherd who tells you that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Even on your deathbed, even in your struggles, even in your disease, God hasn't left you. I want to tell you something, guys. I want to tell you something. Listen, when you hit the low parts of your life, know this. It'll be the times that you see God most clearly in your life. It will be. There are treasures in the darkness. You read the story of Joseph, as Joseph was hated of his brothers, sold into slavery, thrown into a pit, thrown into prison. And on his way from the pit to the prison to the palace, it never fails to tell us that God was with him. He's with Joseph. It's in those dark hours in which you will draw closer to God than you've ever been. So don't despise the darkness. Don't despise the hardships and the heartaches. Use the darkness as a chance to get the treasures out of the darkness, because it's right there that God will work inside your heart and you'll draw closer to him than you've ever been. When he got ready to change the Apostle Paul, what did he do? He put him in darkness for 3 days, didn't he? He put him in darkness. Don't be afraid of it. He's with you every step of the way. Through the dark valley, the shepherd will lead us into the green pastures. He's leading us to a better place. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. To die is gain. Let that thought just sink over you for a second. How is that possible for death to be gain? Let me give you four ways. How do we gain? One, we gain physically. How many of you woke up this morning and your body hurts? Can I see some test of y'all testify? Yep. Everybody thinks that these tennis shoes are a fashion statement. No, they're a medical prescription. Because Brother Matt's crippled every Sunday night when he goes home. I'm going to get freedom from pain and degeneration. I'm looking forward to that, my glorified body. We gain mentally. We get freedom from temptation and doubt. We're going to gain socially as an enlarged circle of friends, and then there's going to be a reunion of loved ones someday. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and what? Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There's going to be a great reunion day with Jesus and our loved ones someday. I mean, I'm going to gain physically, mentally, I'm going to gain socially, I'm going to gain spiritually, I'm going to gain the eternal presence of the Lord as we see him face to face. Notice secondly here, not only the shepherd's peace, but the shepherd's protection. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Having the protection and correction of the shepherd is a comfort to the sheep. His rod is an extension of his arm. It represents strength, power, and authority. God's word is a shepherd's rod. It corrects me. The word of God can be used as the rod of our shepherd. God uses his word to keep me off the 6 o'clock news. Amen? He corrects me with it. He guides me with it. And so we have the shepherd's protection. And notice this. We have the shepherd's peace. The staff, he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What did the staff do? We talked about this last week. It was big enough, the crook on a shepherd's crook, big enough for the neck of an adult, big enough for the body of a lamb. It draws us near to the shepherd, doesn't it? He said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me because they draw me close to your presence. There's a peace that comes by being close to the shepherd. I want to ask you something today. Is there an absence of peace in your life? Is there something in your heart that's troubled and you don't have the peace that you once had? It's probably an indication that you're a long ways from the shepherd. Let him draw you near. Let the Holy Spirit of God be like a staff and draw you near to the shepherd. Here's the last thought, is the shepherd's purpose. Our shepherd, the Lord Jesus, he knows personally that valley of the shadow of death, doesn't he? He walked it. I'm going to have our musicians come and we're going to prepare to close, but I want to say this to you before I close this out here. Jesus, our good shepherd, he knows personally the shadow of death. He walked through it himself while on the cross. Do you know what the difference between Jesus and you is? Is Jesus, the good shepherd, he walked the valley of the shadow of death alone. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus walked it alone. But listen to me. He walked it alone so that you don't have to. You don't have to. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod, it corrects me. Your staff, it comforts me. He's with me. And I want to ask you something. Are you afraid? Because you don't have to be. The purpose of the shepherd is to lead us through that valley. And he's done that. As our piano begins to play, I want to share a verse with you from Hebrews chapter 2. Verses 14 and 15, it says there, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh, that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and he might deliver them who through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Some of you are still subject to bondage. And the reason why you're subject to bondage is because you're still living in the fear of death. Some of you are still living in the bondage of your sin. You've never been set free from that. And because you're still living in the bondage of your sin, you're living in the bondage of fear of death because you've never trusted in the shepherd who could lead you from death into life. I didn't preach this message to frighten anybody. I preached this message to tell you that there's comfort and freedom from that fear. I'm telling you guys, it's different. When you go to the deathbed of somebody who knows Jesus Christ, it's different. And in the town that I lived in, the trains there had no speed limits because there are barricades at every intersection. And when there are barricades at every intersection, the speed limits are off for trains, which I think is crazy. But the 17-year-old boy pulls up with his girlfriend to the barricade, and he looks and he sees the train and he thinks, "I can beat the train." And he goes through the barricade and he gets out on the tracks, and the train hit his Ford Escort doing 55 miles an hour. Pushed them 3/4 of a mile before they could shut the train down. Obviously, they died on impact. The family knew no preachers. They only knew me because his sister, I had led his sister and brother-in-law to Christ through Vacation Bible School by picking up their kids for BBS. So they reached out to me and they said, "We don't know any preachers but you, but would you come and do his funeral?" I said, "Absolutely, I'll do his funeral." We held his funeral at North Fort Baptist Church in Eufaula. And I thought, what an incredible responsibility to share with people the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I thought, someone asked me, said, "Well, what are you going to say?" I said, "Well, I don't really know this kid. I do know Jesus. I'm going to talk about Jesus." And I'll never forget this as long as I live. But they brought that school in there, probably 300 kids in there, people everywhere, and they brought his family in. They were playing some god-awful rap music. And the family was just weeping hopelessly. I mean, I was just a kid preacher. I mean, I'm like 27 years old, 28 maybe. And I'm watching this family, and they're coming up here. The casket is open. And they're putting credit cards in there and cell phones and cigarettes. And they're laying on his dead body. And they're crying out. And all I saw hopelessness. These are the wailings of hopeless people. And then you go to the graveside of a saint, and there's peace. Because there's peace in the valley. There's a difference. And I wanted so badly to comfort those people, but the only comfort they can ever get is from the Word of God. There's no comfort for him. He's not coming back. Death is preordained, but it's not predictable. And I just want you to do this today. I want you to ask yourself, are you ready? When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, is there going to be hopeless weeping at your funeral, or is there going to be joy and peace? You know what we're going to do at my funeral? Most of you aside, throw them in the ditch out there. We're going to come in here, we're going to worship God. Amen. We're going to preach the gospel. I'm going to get a preacher to come in and preach the gospel. And we're going to praise him. And if you want to sorrow, you can. Hey, but listen, don't sorrow as those who have no hope. Some of you will be crying tears of joy. Praise God, he's gone. Some of you will be really sad. But I will have passed through the valley of the shadow of the death, holding the hand of my shepherd all the way. Is he your shepherd? If he's not, come today. Let's stand. We're going to have a song of invitation. If the Lord is not your shepherd, come today. Make him your shepherd while we sing.